everyone, and welcome to Minute 57 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a wild trip to the 1987 John Hughes comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is DJ Valentine of Simplistic Review. Welcome back to the show, DJ.
I just want to get some sleep, okay? Just do your show, and then I'm just going to go back to sleep, and you just do your show.
Right?
I'm just
Oh, come on, I want to mess around.
All right, fine, let's do it.
All right, so Minute 57 begins with Dell continuing to mess around and ends with a radio announcer talking about the weather. So yesterday we ended the minute where Neil went to sleep and Dell is driving and playing, pretending that he's actually singing the song Mess Around. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mess Around is by who sung it?
Ray Charles. The great reader.
Yeah. And I mean, it's great. He's throughout this entire, this is basically a mess around minute, as we talked about yesterday. This entire minute is just the song is playing and Dell is responding to it. We had about 20 seconds of it yesterday also. But I mean, I love the fact that they cut this movie down, but they still kept this entire segment in. They didn't just give us a few seconds of him playing around to give us an idea of what he's doing. They let it all completely play out.
How would you cut this? How would you, if you're an editor and you saw this, John Candy singing Ray Charles? It's just like I couldn't hit the C button. I couldn't do it. I'd be like,
I understand. But you know how long the original cut of this movie was, don't you?
Wasn't it like 3-something?
It was like 3:40-something. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that my first season I did The Great Escape. This movie is 1 hour longer than The Great Escape. The final cut.
It was longer than the Batman movie that just came out.
That's right. It's longer than, actually, it's longer than the extended editions of each of the Lord of the Rings movies, except for the final one.
Well, this is a journey too. This is a journey, you know. That might not be Mount Doom, but
where's Frodo and Sam when you need them?
We're doing the mess around, Sam.
I could see Sam saying that, not necessarily Frodo.
Master Frodo, we're going to do the mess around.
That would have been great.
Oh, now I'm typing this in. I might have to write a sketch about Planes, Trains, and Frodo and Sam. Hold on, let me write this down. Okay. Sorry. I'm doing producing my show on his show. I apologize about
that. Hey, why not? Cross promotion. There you go. I was thinking cross production. It's cross promotion. Yeah. So basically, I mean, you're right. Where would they cut it? But there are, I mean, in most movies, if you're going to have something like this, you're going to have, you know, maybe 30 seconds of it or something like that. I mean, they're giving us almost a minute and a half of a movie that they needed to cut down because of time. They cut it down to 93 minutes and they still left this in, which I'm very happy about. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining that they left it in.
Right.
It just, it boggles the mind that this is what they left in. You know, if you have to cut things, you would cut part of it. But I mean, this whole minute, first of all, they play the entire song from what I understand.
Yeah.
You know, and it just keeps going on and on throughout the entire thing. I mean, we're not gonna go through the lyrics. I don't think it's necessary. But what's great is that, I mean, the camera is focused on John Candy the entire time. Okay. And it's either on John Candy or it's outside.
Over his shoulder, yeah. Or it's outside. Sometimes they kind of do a little, doesn't it do a little over the shoulder where he's looking over at Steve Martin who's like moving around or whatever?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he sways back and forth and he at one point he sways so far that he even hits Neil, with his arm as he's doing it, you know, and you see the car like swerving around a little bit also while he's doing this from the outside. You know, you can see that he's not really in very much control of the car as this is going on, you know, the way that he's doing it. But he's having fun. There's one point where he starts to, like, put up his hands and he's, like, looks like he's waving. He's doing, like, strange signs with his hands along the way and stuff like that.
I remember, I think I was 9 when I saw this movie, and maybe 10. I think I was 10 years old. And
how
I
could you
used
be
to
10? One second. Yesterday you told a story that it was spring break 1987 and that you were 17.
97.
Oh, I thought you said 87, and I was like, okay, this movie came out in 87. So no, sorry, 97, I misheard you yesterday. Sorry.
It's okay. No, I was born in 78, so I think I was young. I used to think that John Candy was singing the song. I didn't know the concept of lip sync ADR. I didn't know. I was just like, oh wow, this guy's a really good singer. And then I got older. I was like, oh wow, he's just singing on those. So stupid older me was yelling at younger me, like, how could you think John Candy was singing this?
No, why not? There's you know, you have to go with the flow when you think about you know your younger self and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's okay. We're now smarter and have much more useless information than we did when we were at that age.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And like he pretends to play the piano along the way. I mean, there's a piano solo in the song itself, and he does a piano solo on the dashboard, you know, on the driving on the steering wheel and stuff like that. It's really funny the way that he does this.
Yeah, and does he do a saxophone solo as well? Like
yeah, it goes right. Yeah, there's a sax solo here also, and he pretends also, you know, in this minute to do the sax solo.
So good. You know, so
and
good.
And the editing here is amazing because they keep shifting back and forth between us seeing him inside the car and outside of the car, and you know goes back and forth. You know, it shows, you know, we see the way the car swerves when he swerves and things like that. Right. You know, he begins to like drum with his thumbs also along the way.
How many takes do you think it took him to do this?
Oh my God, I hope not too many.
Because I mean, this is very tiring. But just imagine doing this like 20 times. Like if Kubrick was directing this, he'd probably do it 275 times. So, well, I wonder how many takes John Candy had to do to do this song. At this point, he had to have known that, yeah, because he's lip syncing the words. So yeah, he knows it's Ray Charles' song at the time.
Well, maybe he knows it. Maybe he knows it because he did it so many times.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
This is my 50th time doing this scene. Obviously, I know the song.
Do it one more from the top, John. Just try and make sure you nail the saxophone thumb thing. Make sure.
I mean, there's even a point where he like does like twists his arms around in like a circular motion, like what cheerleaders do and stuff like that. You know,
right,
like,
right.
And again, every single time he does this, because he lets go of the wheel, you see the car like swerving. You know, he's on a completely deserted road. Again, it makes no sense that he's on a deserted road because according to the logic of time, it should only be about 7-8 o'clock at night right now.
Right.
You know, they make it look as if it's 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, we don't know for sure. But if you have a 5-hour travel, you know, a 5-hour trip from St. Louis to Chicago, you know,
there's a lot of city in between there, a lot of town between there.
No, but even if there's town between there, it doesn't matter. It's a 5-hour drive. It's not something he shouldn't be there in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to. At this point, right. I mean, in the scripts, we talked about it last week that they stopped at a bar and there are places where they stopped, but still, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if I had a 4 or 5 hour trip, I'm not going to want to stop for 2 hours on the way.
No.
You know,
no.
I want to get to my destination, right. Especially in a case like this where he wants to get home, you know, mm-hmm. or maybe he doesn't. I mean, that's one of the things also that the script, they cut it completely out of the final cut where his wife is really upset at him and thinks that he's making all this up. And that Dell is some woman that he's, you know, that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
She does have this, like, when you, I mean, skipping way ahead to the end, as I watched the movie, the actress that plays his wife does seem kind of cold to him, kind of. I don't know. Maybe I just read it wrong, but yeah.
Layla Robbins.
Yeah. When you, I did not know the whole, she thinks he's cheating on her. She thinks he's cheating on her thing with some woman named Dell.
Yeah, because and then she last week we talked about in the script that there was a point where she said, "Well, I hope you don't come home. Make sure you don't come home with Dell's underwear in your she says, make sure you don't come home with Dell's panties in your bag." And he goes, "Funny you should mention that. I actually washed my face with them this morning." You know.
fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I mean, with the editing, they edit that whole part out of it so well, because mm-hmm. you say that she feels a little cold in a few situations, but in the end, she doesn't seem cold. She's happy to see him.
Right.
You know, I tried contacting Layla Robbins to be on the show. She opened my tweet and actually liked it, but she didn't write back to me. Oh. So that's something. Because I wanted cold to you. Apparently. And I wanted to actually ask her, did they have to refilm everything, or did they just cut everything, you know, as it was filmed?
Right.
You know, because, I mean, some of the way that the script is cut is great, because they cut out parts of conversations. You know, like someone will say something and they cut out the next sentence that the same person is saying. You know, they do it so beautifully, and it just changes the connotation of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so I wonder if her character is meant to be like that. You know, were they able to cut things out, and then that's why it's still, why it doesn't seem as if she's that angry at him. I mean, in the script, every time they talk, she hangs up the phone with him angrily.
Right.
And yeah. In the movie, you don't see that at all.
No, I just got it from her performance early on, where it's like there's something not being said. Right. that we're missing. It's like, but as you fill in the blanks for me, it's like, oh, that makes complete sense, because of kind of the way she's playing it, which she probably had the information, because she, again, read the script. She probably had that information, so she's playing it that way, where she's a little perturbed at the situation. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Especially since, you know, Neil is washing his face with those panties.
Panties and his face.
Who knows? And I mean, again, as he's continuing to drive, you know, he plays piano again a second time, even though there is no second piano solo in this. Mm-hmm. And he starts like flashing the lights and honking the horn at the same time.
It's so dangerous. This is like a blood on the highway kind of. Don't do this ever in your life.
Yeah, even like at 2 a.m.
Yeah, this is the anti-driving video. This is like, do everything the opposite of him and you'll be fine on long trips.
Yeah, let's hope so. And what's really interesting is the fact that he's honking the horn so much he doesn't wake up Neil.
Yeah, Neil's like a DJ sleeper. If I go to sleep, that's it.
Well, hello. you were
exactly,
in a car.
Exactly. We've already established my comatose sleeping. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can sleep deeply also. Usually not in a car, because I'm usually the one driving. So yeah, I don't do that. I prefer everyone else sleeping. You know,
I do too, quiet. But for some reason,
I don't need people around, you know, keeping, my wife doesn't need to talk to me while we're driving. You know, I can, you know, I listen to podcasts. if she's talking to me, then I can't listen to, you know, to different podcasts.
I need daylight. I need daylight and distraction, or I'm going to sleep. Look, if this podcast, if you stop talking, I'm going to fall asleep right now. Don't do it.
Don't talk to me. All right, we'll do that. I'll talk to you all week. How's that?
I have a little bit of narcolepsy. Let's go.
Right. So basically, I mean, again, he's making a lot of noise and doesn't wake up Neil. Neil is, you know, I guess he's really tired because he didn't sleep so well the entire night last night. In the morning, he slept well. He was sleeping peacefully. Nice, spooning peacefully. Mm-hmm. and then we hear the radio announcer come on the radio and basically says, that was Ray Charles doing the mess around, for anyone who didn't know that before, right?
Right.
And then he goes, looking outside, the weather's beginning to clear up now. Again, it looks like it's 2 a.m. Who cares? You know.
At this point, people are in their houses already. Who cares what's
I mean they already in the script, there was a point where when they stopped at the bar where they were debating whether to continue their trip or not, because a trucker came in and told them that there's a big storm coming in from Chicago area.
Right.
So maybe that's the reference here, that he's basically saying, okay, it's cleared up. It's moved out of the way. It's not where we want to be. But again, if he's listening to a radio station in the middle of the night, you know, I don't know how far away you can pick up radio stations in cars back in the 1980s.
Exactly.
You know, it must have been close by, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when we used to travel with family, you know, when I was a kid, and when my parents would listen to the radio, it would, you know, just abruptly change.
Yeah, it would change. Yeah.
You know, you're listening to some music, and then you're out of range, and that's it. You know, nowadays, I guess it depends on the cell tower.
Yeah, or you get XM radio and it never changes and you're fine.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's pretty much how this minute ends. Again, we call this the mess around minute. So that's pretty much everything that happens in this minute, which is great. They did this really well. This minute really accentuates the talent that we call John Candy.
He's great.
There aren't many actors that I would say that I would be interested in watching for about a minute and a half, just pretending to be playing music in the car.
There's maybe two.
Who else would you?
Robin Williams. That's the only those two guys can. They do so much with so little. They can make me burst out laughing, and then in a half a second, burst out crying. In a minute. They're so good. And if Robin Williams, not saying Robin Williams would be better in this movie, but if you say, hey, Robin Williams, we're going to have a minute scene where you're doing Ray Charles, you know he would just be fantastic. It'd be one of the greatest things you've ever seen in your life. I think a couple of people can maybe kind of do that sort of thing. John Candy was one of them.
Right. Okay. That's true. I mean, and he does, because we can see it. Yeah. And that's the answer to the question that we asked earlier. Why didn't they cut this? Because John Candy showed that you don't need to cut this. This is perfect for the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it also shows the type of carefree person that he is. You know, that he's sitting in a car next to a stranger, but he still feels comfortable enough to act this way and to pretend, you know, to make a lot of noise.
Yeah. He's got companionship. He's happy. He's not alone. Though he's alone because the guy's asleep, but this is the happiest he's probably going to be. For a little while.
Well, we know that Dell is searching for friendly faces at every place that he goes.
Right.
You know, I think someone mentioned this at some point earlier in one of the earlier weeks, that he's like the norm of Cheers. Yeah, he's...
Yeah.
He's a guy who, wherever he goes, he's friendly to everybody. Everyone loves him. You know, and everyone wants to be around him, and he always does all he can to feel as part of the furniture wherever he is.
Right. He wants to belong.
Yeah. And that fits in here too, because that's more or less what he's doing. You know, even though he's in the car with a stranger, you know, he's still being himself. And as you said, he wants to belong, feels like he's belongs. So what the term mess around, do you know how many different definitions there are of that phrase?
Oh, God, I can only imagine. I would say a lot. Four definitions of that phrase.
Okay, well, one of them is to spend time. Okay, it's an informal way of saying it, that you can spend time doing various things that are not important without any particular purpose or plan. You know, for instance, they spend their weekend messing around on the boat. My brother likes messing around with computers. He spent the day with friends just messing about, you know, things like that.
Right.
Then it could also be someone who's acting stupidly, right? To behave in a stupid or annoying way.
That appeals to me, yes.
Okay. Stop messing around and listen to me. You know, things like that.
Story of my life, as one Bruce Willis once said.
It could mean to waste time, okay? Before it was spending time, but it could also be to waste time, okay? You're wasting time doing something without any particular purpose. So the kids are just messing around at the mall, you know?
Yeah, right. which is kind of what this scene is doing. It's just messing around. There's nothing really plot heavy going on.
Yes.
It's just one little waste of time. That's good. One good, nice, fun waste of time.
Okay. Then I found a great quote that used an example, which I don't know where it came from, but it's just so funny that it was in, I think it was in the Urban Dictionary or whatever. It says, "Keep messing around, you'll be the bad smell in the attic."
What? Oh my God.
It says, it's meaning that if you do not stop mucking about, they will be murdered and tossed into the said attic.
Holy Jesus. Okay. All right. Well, that's a, you have my attention. Threats. Fine.
So in the Urban Dictionary, it's a dance routine which is spontaneous, crazy, and original each time that it's performed. Okay. And then the final definition, which is what always comes to mind when I think of it first, you know, can you think of another definition that someone's messing around?
Yeah, it's fooling around. I go fooling around when I hear messing around. I'm thinking somebody's cheating on somebody or, you know, having a little sexual intercourse with somebody else. That's me. I'm sick.
Exactly. Brain, no, yeah. DJ, you're going in the right direction. The definition is to either kiss, make out, feel up, kiss the neck, etc. And then it says, leads to whatever you want.
Leads to whatever you want. Ooh, might want to get a little more specific there. Don't get canceled. Easy.
Yeah, basically. All right. There are no discrepancies in the script because, as we mentioned yesterday, the whole mess around is not in the script. I wonder who thought of it. You know, I wonder if it came to the point where John Candy came over to John Hughes and said, you know what? I got a great idea. I know this song Mess Around by heart. And I know how to do the piano stuff. And I know how to do that. Let's just give it a shot and try it, you know?
God, I hope it was that. I hope it was like, maybe John was doing that between takes. And then John Candy was doing it between takes. And John Hughes was like, yeah, let's film that. Something like, I love stories like that where things spontaneous happens on set and then like, you know what, let's put it in a movie. It's fantastic. It's like, how was this not in the movie to begin with? But as you're telling me, it's in the script, but
it's not in the script.
Oh, it's not in the script. It's not, that's even better. So maybe this happened. Maybe John was just messing around between takes and they did it. I mean, that happens to this day.
Yeah, so. Exactly. All right. So every day we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track where either myself or my guest will give a little short anecdote about something that happened to either one of us along the way on the journey of life. So, DJ, got another one for us.
I'll go back to my college years. We were playing tag.
To remind everyone, it's the 90s, not the
97. 80s. This is probably 98 when this happened. So, we decided to play tag because we're bored. Tallahassee is not the most fun place in the world. So we decided to make our own kind of game where it was tag throughout the campus. But our version of tag involved, I guess the statute of limitations have expired, cars. So I had a Jeep Cherokee at the time. So, and we didn't have a really high security on campus. So I drove, I was doing donuts chasing my other friend and his Toyota Tercel all through Kellum Hall and Smith Hall and Degrassi, not the TV show, but there's a hall called Degrassi, just making doing donuts, doing all types of crazy stuff, and didn't get caught the whole time. It was so fantastic. I was like, man, we should have probably gone to jail, probably. But yes, we did not. It was fantastic. And I win? No, I got caught eventually.
You got tagged.
I got tagged. Yes, I got tagged. I was it for a very long time after that.
I remember in the 80s there was a silly movie called Tag. It was called Tag the Assassination Game.
Oh wow.
With I think it was Robert Carradine was in it. It came out around the same time as Gotcha. It was the same basic idea, you know, where you have to walk around campus and you know, you have a target that you have to get with paintball, you know, that type of thing. But in this one, someone took it seriously and was actually going around killing people. So, yeah, it was, I,
It's got to be better than the Jeremy Renner tag movie. So I'm going to try to find that one.
It better be. Yeah, I didn't like that one that much. All right. So you want to tell people once again how they can get in touch with you, DJ?
SimplisticReviews.net is where you can find all the whole kit and caboodle of our show. Me, Justin Palizzi, and Matthew Stewart. We take the entertainment industry and we kind of just make fun of it and make fun of ourselves. And we do little sketches. And I got a good idea for a sketch from this show. So, yeah, we do all that on our show. You can just find us on SimplisticReviews.net or just search Simplistic Reviews.
All right. And once again, to find me is also very simple. All you do is a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, on Twitter, or go to our website, Movie Rob Minute. All right, so DJ, you feel like coming back again tomorrow?
I'll mess around a little bit with you. Yeah. A little hump day action. We'll do a little right. Wednesday.
That's good. Wednesday. You know what that means. Until tomorrow.
What?
You're fired.
Oh, again. You always catch me. I'm always your fired. You're fired. God damn it. Damn it. One day.